الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وأتم علينا نعمه ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا ولا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل، وأد نفسك من أهل القبور، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل، لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي أقمي، أمرتك الخير لكن ما تمرت به، وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقمي. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين، بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء عظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاه والأكم، روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكن، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم، والحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and friends, firstly, as is a practice of my very honorable illustrious Ustad, my Shaykh Hazmuna Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Madazirul Ali, that before every majlis, before every talk, we should first discuss one of the sunnats of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the importance, the greatness, the value of the sunnats of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can once again penetrate my heart, your heart, and the entire ummah. Because the sunnats of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the live wire of the ummah. A person, as long as he's got life, he's vibrant, he can do everything, he can defend himself, he can defend his property, etc. But when a person loses his strength, and even a person, for example, he's in the hospital, he's alive, but he's in a coma. So that person can't do anything for himself. He can't even bathe himself, he can't even feed himself, because he's like a living dead. And sadly today, if we see the condition of the ummah throughout the world today, the whole ummah is crying because we're in a state of coma. In other words, we have lost our live wire, and that is, we have moved away from the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And with regard to this, today we are, our hearts are bleeding. What's happening in Palestine? What's happening in Baitul Muqaddas? We should go back in the history of Islam and see when Palestine was taken over by none other than Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. When Amirul Mu'mineen was sending a delegation to Baitul Maqdis, then the people there said, if Amirul Mu'mineen comes himself, then we won't even able to wage war against them. We'll just hand the keys over to the Amirul Mu'mineen and he can rule over us. So Amirul Mu'mineen realized this is a very, very important expedition to take over Baitul Maqdis. Hazrat Umar radiallahu got ready, and with a few Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, very ill-equipped, didn't even have enough means of transport. Each person didn't have his own camel to travel. They had to share the means of transport. So much so, an agreement was made with Amirul Mu'mineen also, that he had a khadim, a assistant, that will assist him in traveling. So he made an agreement that he will sit on the camel for a while, the Khadim will hold the reins and walk in front. And when he is tired, Amir al-Mu'mineen will get off. And the Khadim, the assistant, will sit on the camel and Amir al-Mu'mineen will hold the reins. And this is how they travel from Medina to Mukarramah, right to Bayt al-Maqdis in those days. Very difficult, long journey. And when they came close to Bayt al-Muqaddas, then Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that were with Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, we got some mashwara to make now, that we are almost entering Bayt al-Muqaddas." And it so happened, it was now the time for Amir al-Mu'mineen to be holding the reins of the camel. And his assistant had to be sitting on the camel. So they decided, let us ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, that his assistant, his khadim, will be just too happy to give over his turn to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, so people can realize who is Amir al-Mu'mineen. So they said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have to make some mashwara." So he said, "Okay, what's the mashwara?" He said two things. One is, very long journey we had, and clothes are dusty, we are looking very dirty, so you should change your clothes. And secondly, that you should take over it's your turn to be holding the reins, but your khadim is just too happy to give over his turn to you, so you should be sitting on the camel. At that time, Amir al-Mu'mineen went into a stage of a rage, and what a beautiful advice he gave for me and you, and for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. He said, "Inna kunna adhalla qawmun, fa'azzana Allah bil Islam." He said, "Oh friends, just think, we were the most degraded nation on the face of the earth. We had no value in the eyes of people. That time the Roman and Persians, who were regarded as the superpowers, they used to tell the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, "Antum abidu abiduna." You're the slaves of our slaves. We don't even need to rule over you. So he says, we were the most degraded nation on the face of the earth. Today we are walking into Bayt al-Muqaddas. How have we got this honor? It's not because of our clothes. It's not because of the means of our transport. فَأَزَلَّنَا فَأَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah gave us honor, respect, dignity when we held fast onto Islam, the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, when we came out of our lifestyle of jahiliyyah, of ignorance, and we lost what was reality of mankind, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that beautiful way of life, the most outstanding way of life, which Allah Ta'ala mentions very beautifully with great stress, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That undoubtedly, most definitely, only in the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for you to follow. And as long as you hold on to the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the example is the best example, you will be the best nation in the world. But the moment you turn away from the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu mentioned very clearly, فَمَحْمَا نَطْلَبُ الْعِذَّ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهِ أَزَلَّنَ اللَّهِ. If any nation that is from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in any period of life, any generation, they look for their honor, their respect, their dignity, in any other way of life besides the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in any other aspect of life, they will once again be degraded. And today we see the condition of the ummah today, that we crying in Baytul Maqdis, in Medina to Munawwara, people are making dua and crying, where Allah's rahmat is descending in torrents upon Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Duas are readily be accepted. At Kaaba Sharif, duas are accepted. But like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave another beautiful example, he says, a person who is a musafir, his duas get very readily accepted. And if he's in a destitute condition, he's in a difficult condition, even quicker Allah Ta'ala accepts his dua. So, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example that there's a person traveling in the desert and he takes a rest now, he's very tired. When he takes a rest, he leaves the camel on the side. All his provision is on that camel. When he gets up, he sees his camel is missing. No water, no provisions left. And now he's in the desert. Now he realizes that I've got no way out, only to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he cries, Ya Rabbi, oh Allah, please assist me. See my condition, I'm in a desperate condition. Nabi Kareem Sawasama explains, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat wants to descend. Allah wants to help him. But, فَمَتْعَمُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامٌ. That what he ate was haram. Or the income that he earned, the food that he bought, the clothes that he's wearing, the drink that he drank, all that is from haram sources, or either it is haram itself. So, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. How is Allah Ta'ala going to accept the dua of such a person? So today we see our condition. I'm talking of my own condition. We all should look at our own self, that we have moved so far from the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we crying for the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How is Allah's help going to come? The only way is that my Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib Da'am Barakatum says so beautifully, that today people think that they are progressing with technology and moving ahead with all the modern technology and all the digital tools that people have got today, and thus the fingers are just moving all the time. One thing Hazrat says so beautifully, that this digital, in reality what it is, digital, T-A-L in Afrikaans is called tal, that is language. And Dijat is Dajjal. Dajjal Satal. You're playing with Dajjal's language now. And we're all getting caught up in all Dajjal's language. And we see people are just busy all the time on the WhatsApp, all the time on media, and we're forgetting who we are. We the Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Hazrat says, if you want to progress, don't move ahead with technology. Go 1400 years back to the Satri of Medina to Munawwara. And follow the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As beautifully our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says so beautifully. He says that Sukoon Jaha Tum Kaha Doonte Ho. Sukoon Jaha Hai Nizami Medina Mein. That the whole world, whatever we are doing today, we are looking for peace, contentment, happiness. Ask anybody what you are doing. Why are you working so hard? Why you are studying so hard? I want a peaceful, happy life. And Hazrat says so beautifully, Allah has given us a deen according to our desire. Everybody wants a peaceful, happy life. And that is what Allah Ta'ala wants to give us. But where it is and where we're looking for it, it lies only in the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But my example, we should ponder and think, is like an old man who had only one gold coin. And that gold coin was all he had. That was his sarmaya of life, his capital of life. And wherever he used to go, he used to take his gold coin with him. So one day his friend invited him, also living in a small shanty, no lights in that small room of his. His friend said, you come spend the night with me today. So he was also a bachelor old man, he had no family. So he said, all right, I'll come spend the night with you. But middle of the night, while sleeping, his eyes opened up. The first thing is touching his pockets. Where's my gold coin? And abad, his gold coin fell out. When his gold coin fell out, now he's worried. That's my only capital. What am I going to do now? Now he's so parishan, so worried. Looking around in the dark, he can't see anything. So he came out of his worry. He came out of that room. He saw across the road, there's a bright street light outside. And he started sitting there under the street light and looking for his gold coin. His friend woke up after half an hour looking, where's my friend? When he came outside, he saw my friend is sitting outside. So he asked him, what's wrong? You're so parishan. He says, yes, I lost my gold coin. So a friend in need is a friend indeed. Started helping him, looking for it, looking for it. After a while, it's common. You can't find something, you ask, but where you think you lost it? He says, no, we were in the room, sleeping in your room, and I think it fell out there last night. I had it in my pocket, but when I woke up middle of the night, I didn't find it. So he says, then why are you looking for it here? He says, here there's bright lights, in the room there's no light. He says, oh my friend, old man, you look here till the cows come home, you won't find it. Go back in the dark, even if it's dark, but move your hand around, you'll find it there. So today, sadly, we are looking for peace, contentment in varsity degrees. We are looking for it in the big, big shopping malls. We are looking for it everywhere else where it doesn't lie. It lies in the sunnat lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nizami Medina mein. If we come back to the system of Medina to Munawwara, as Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that even the non-Muslim world, If they want peace and happiness in their lives and in their countries, then they must just run their country according to the system of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even without iman, they will get peace and happiness. And if a person got iman and he brings sunnat in his lifestyle, what peace and happiness and contentment he'll get in his house. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize first of all that we acknowledge and we accept that we have moved away from the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have to come back onto the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we want honor, we want respect, we want peace and harmony. Allah Rabbul Izzat very clearly mentions, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Izzat, respect, only belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And for the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the believers who follow in the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are extremely important, respected elders and friends, that I realize, the whole ummah should realize the importance of the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will bring life in the ummah again. Today the ummah, Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh gives a beautiful example. He says that today we are like picture Muslims. Or we like paper lions. He says that a lion cub was laying on the side of the road. And a shepherd was going past. And he saw the small lion cub laying on the side of the road. So he got happy. This baby lion is laying. Let me pick it up. I'll rear it and I'll nurture it and grow it up. So he picked up that lion, small baby cub, while it was still in its infant stage. And he started growing that lion up with all its goats and sheep. So the lion grew up in that environment with the goats and sheep, and he forgot its identity. And started loving with those goats. It grew up, and as it grew up, he thought that these goats and sheep are all his brothers. One lion from the jungle was going past one day, and when he looked in the open field there, where all these goats and sheep were grazing, he saw this one lion there, his brother. He screamed out to him. He said, "Oh, my brother, what's wrong with you?" He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "You are a sick person. What's wrong? This is all bhajas and samosas for you here. And you are sitting, befriending them." He says, "No, these are my brothers and sisters." He says, "No, you are very sick. You need ICU treatment." So he said, "Come with me." He called him out from that field and he said, "Come with me." He took him down the road. There was a pond of water. And in that pond, he said, "You look in the water and see how you look. Do you look like me or do you look like those sheep and goats?" When he looked in the water, he realized, "I look like this lion." And then he took out his sound, that roar of a lion. Now he told him, "You also roar." Now when he realized who he was, that he was a lion, you think those goats and sheep will be left? They'll be finished. He'll have 10 of them for breakfast. And then for lunch, he'll have another 10 and they'll be finished. So exactly today, because we are living in this environment, what this non-Muslim environment, living in the university environments, etc., we just take it for granted. As the flow goes, as the trend goes, and today, Shaitan is very shrewd and very clever. He'll bring fashionable things in the way of deen, and in the line of deen, our dressing as far as deen is concerned also, he'll fool us. And make us think, today you get branded burqas, you get branded kurtas, all that branded names, and we are happy, no, I am wearing a kurta, I am wearing, but we have to see, am I following the lifestyle of our akabirin, our elders, who is closest to the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why it's extremely important to realize, Allahu Akbar. Once Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi, our dada sheikh, a person came to him, and Hazrat explained before that in any generation, if you want to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then follow the pious elders of your country, of your town, then you will able to know how to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, you will have lot of objections. That today, why people are driving in cars? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that zamana is to travel on camel and horseback. So is we not allowed? So we have to learn from our pious elders how they will follow the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then it will become easy for us to follow the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So like one person came to meet Hazrat, and in that time he came dressed according to Sunnat. He had an amama also, or kurta also, but he had a walking stick with a sharp nail at the bottom. And that used to be in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba used to have that type of walking sticks because they used to walk in the gullies, and at night after namaz they had to walk home. Insects or some reptiles or something could have troubled them, so they needed this. But in this zamana, that person came with that walking stick to the khanka. So Hazrat asked him that, "What is this? Why you came with this kind of walking stick?" And in the traveling in the bus in Karachi, such a beast. So the bus is full with so lot passengers. Now imagine to get onto that bus is such a big effort, and then the bus is so full. And if you get onto that bus with that stick, how lot people you can cause harm and takleef to. And is I Muslim is haram. One is to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem SAW on his place, but to cause haram and give somebody takleef. So Hazrat asked him that, "Why you are coming with this kind of walking stick?" He says, "That is the sunnah." Hazrat said, "Not in this zamana." Instead of listening to the elders, he got upset. And he said, "That's why you people, y'all don't follow the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, objecting to our elders." So Hazrat kept quiet. Hazrat just said, "Ye aadmi khatra mein hai. This person is in danger." So he went away. After 1 year or 2 years, he came back. Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, explains that he came back after 1 or 2 years, and now he was in full suit and tie. He even had an Englishman's cap on, and he came to the khanka. So Hazrat couldn't even recognize him. Mawlana Mazhar Sahib made him out and recognized him. Then when he came, he met Hazrat. Mawlana Mazhar Sahib asked Hazrat, "You know this man?" He says, "No." He says, "This was the same person that objected when you told him that he shouldn't use that kind of walking stick in the zamana." So it is extremely important, respected elders and friends, that we follow the lifestyle of our kabirin, our elders. And our pious elders, they will show us the closest way to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will bring peace, happiness in our lives, which will bring goodness in our lives. Today there is so much of infighting in the homes, etc. Why? My Shaykh explained so beautifully that science will tell you that there's a vacuum, an empty space. But in reality, that is not the system of Allah. There's no empty space. If one thing moves out of the way, Allah brings something else. For example, in our days of our parents, grandparents, they used to start their day with tilawat of Qur'an-i Kareem. They used to end their day with tilawat of Qur'an-i Kareem. When tilawat went out of the homes, then the TV came in the home, then music and all those things filled up. So all that evil filled up the gap of the noor. And what it brought with? It brought all types of problems with. So today, if we want goodness to come, it senses we make a big noise and blame one another. Myself, I have to see that how much am I practicing on sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we might think that, "No, I'm very punctual, I'm practicing on sunnah, I've got proper sunnah clothing, etc." But for example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one great sunnah which today is a very common problem in the ummah today. And especially amongst good people, learned people also, that we just look at anybody and we pass judgment. And we think this person is like this, that person is like that. Any person just comes in a masjid also, you just look at him and the thoughts are running in your mind. So Hazrat Umar, the Nabi Kareem SAW told Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, "Oh Anas, that if you can go to bed, that before you sleep, you clean your heart from all type of malice, jealousy, hatred, for everybody, and keep your heart clean, that is one of my great sunnats. If you can practice upon that, then try and practice upon that." So that is a great sunnah today, that if we make an intention, in the start it will be just like words, that you tell yourself and you talk to yourself and you ask Allah, that, "Oh Allah, please forgive me. Today I clean my heart from all type of jealous, hatred, malice, and thinking bad of anybody." And if you do this regularly, then you'll see, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will open your heart. Now when you see any person, you'll only see goodness in that person. So Allah Ta'ala give me, all of us, tawfiq and understanding to realize that we bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And make an effort and make dua that Allah brings us alive in the whole ummah. And this will give the ummah again that glory. This will give that ummah again that high position that Allah Ta'ala gave the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala has sent us here for a very short while. And in the short while, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us what the zawwadu, that prepare your luggage. You are on your journey all the time. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentioned so beautifully that insan, we are not abadi, we are not azali, but once Allah creates us, then we are abadi. In other words, we were not existing from before. Allah brought us into existence, but once Allah brought us into existence, then life will carry on forever. A person will think, what Mawlana is saying, life will carry on forever. Just now we get the news, this person has passed away. But in reality, when a person passes away, that's not the end of his life. He's just gone to the next station of his life, which is the beginning of real life. This life here, our life has started from Alam-e Arwah. Allah brought our souls into existence, and from that time, we are living, and we're just going from stage to stage. We are just on a journey all the time. We are moving. And if a person doesn't realize you are in suffer all the time, and you just pass your life and just, you are traveling, and now you're in a transit lounge, but now you are too busy going to the shopping centers, and you're not even realizing it's just now time for me to board my flight. And you are engaged in all those things, then you miss your flight, you'll end up in problems. People will say, you are a stupid fool. You didn't realize you're on a journey. So more important than death, Allahu Akbar. Harun al-Rashid was a very pious king in his time. A very rich king, very pious also. But yet, one of his sons was so pious that he told his father that you are living in too much luxury. That I can't stay with you. And he went to stay out in the jungles. That is a different aspect. We're not discussing that. What we are trying to make myself realize in all of us, that Harun al-Rashid was a pious person. 300 rakats, nafal namaz he used to perform every day. Allahu Akbar. So one day he had a white small stick. And there was a person in that village that was known as Bahlul. Bahlul was regarded as a mad person. But in reality he was not a mad man as we will think. Children used to play around and play fools with him. But in reality, he was disconnected from the world. He was not inclined to the world at all. He was so engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At night, he used to spend his time in ibadat. Hardly really had a proper house. During the day, wherever he finds a place to sleep, on the pavement, he used to sleep. So children thought he's mad. But in reality, he was madly in love with Allah ta'ala. And the king knew that this was a pious man. So he was allowed to visit the king whenever he wanted. And Bahlul, people thought he was a madman. Like for example, some people were coming and they were looking for the city. So they asked Bahlul, which is the road to the city? So he showed them the road to the Qabristan. So when they landed up in the Qabristan, they said, Bahlul, that's why we know you are a madman. He says, what you mean I'm a madman? He says, where are the people leaving and they're going to stay where? That is the real city. The real city is the Qabristan. Here people are here for a short while and where are they going? The Qabristan is inhabited for how many hundreds and hundreds of years already. So that is actually the real city. And that is the city that we have to stay first. That's our first station of the year after. So Dehlul was such an intelligent man that Harun al-Rashid one day, Bahlul went to visit him. Then Harun al-Rashid took out the small white stick. And he said, Bahlul, I never saw a more stupid man than you. So you keep the stick. And if you find somebody more stupid than you, you can give the stick to him. Bahlul wasn't like me that took objection and said, King, how can you say I'm a stupid person? Today any person, if he's doing something wrong also, and you tell him you're fool, stupid, he doesn't like it. He takes objection. But myself, all of us, we should ponder and think. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained who is an intelligent person. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa. That person who controls his passion and desires, doesn't just live a reckless life and just think Like many people today, you tell them, don't drive so fast, don't go to this place, it's not good. Then you'll say, who are you to tell me? It's my life, it's my car, it's my money. Allahu Akbar. Allah Rabbul Izzat answers that person so beautifully, and Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. How can you be ungrateful to Allah and say it's your life? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. You are non-existent. You had no life. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَحْيَاكُمْ. Allah gave you this life. So this life is a great amanat. It's a trust. Allah has given it to you. Allah regarded you as a trustworthy person, an honorable person. And Allah has taught us how to use this trust. Not just Allah has sent a kitab, Kitabullah, to teach us how to lead our life, but practically Allah sent the greatest personality, Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to show the world how to lead their life. And those who led their life according to how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed them, Allah Ta'ala honored them in the Quran Kareem with such honorable titles. Allah said, Rijal, these are men. If you think you are men, then don't judge yourself according to your outward condition. Men are those people, لا تُلِيهِمْ تِجَارَ وَلَا بَيْهُنْ أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Nothing will distract them from the remembrance of Allah. They can become the richest people in the world, but they won't forget the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't be overtaken by their lust and their passions and desires. So a person should realize. So Behlul, he accepted that stick very quietly. And he said, King, I accept, I'm the most ignorant person. He kept that stick with him for a whole year or two. And then he heard that the king is very sick. He's ill. He's on his, so to say, on his dead bed. Then he went to visit the king Harun al-Rashid. And when he came to visit the king, he saw the king was very sick. So he asked the king Harun al-Rashid, that Bacha, tell us that now you're on your journey. You're on your journey out. He says, yes, I'm on my journey out. He says, did when you used to go on your journeys to in this world, any journey you used to travel, do you used to make any preparation? He says, yes, we used to go hunting journey. We used to prepare 3-4 months before time. Get all the ministers ready, all the dogs, hunting dogs, everything ready, and we have to make a big preparation. So he says, now you're on your way out, you're on your real journey to Akhirat. Did you prepare for that journey? He says, no, I did not prepare for that journey. Then he took out that white stick and he said, if that is the case, then I think you are the most stupid person. And then the king accepted it. He says, yes, Behlul, what you are saying is right. And although 300 rakats nafal namaz, he used to read every day. And yet he says he still did not prepare. So me and you, let me and you ponder, that are we preparing to be on our journey to Allah Rabbul Izzat? And Allah Ta'ala has shown us that Allah Ta'ala is giving us every day a lesson, that when you go to bed, Allah takes your life away. You are a dead man. Al-Nawmu Uqtul Maut. And sleep is the brother, sister of death. You don't even know what is happening around you. You are in a state that you don't. People can take your money. People can take your life also. You don't know what is happening. And then when you get up again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us the beautiful dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. That, oh Allah, you gave me another life after I was dead. And that is why, Allahu Akbar, our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when you get up in the morning, make shukr that Allah gave you another life. And not only another life, a life in the best of forms, Ashraful Makhlukat. Allah, you made me a human being again. So make shukr on that. And then make shukr, Allah, you woke me up in a state of Iman and in a state of Islam. Allahu Akbar. So if a person makes shukr, then he'll realize that Allah gave me my life, now why am I living? Why did Allah give me my life? Allah has given us our life, our object and purpose of life, maqsoode man tu wa radai tu. Our object is only Allah Rabbul Izzat. And what is the object that we say our object is Allah Rabbul Izzat? That Allah's happiness. We must please Allah Rabbul Izzat. And the only way we can please Allah Ta'ala if we gain the marifat, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we come to know the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we fulfill it according to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you get up in the morning, make this intention that, O Allah, my object and my purpose of life that you gave me, I will love for you, O Allah, I will die for you, and give me tawfiq to lead that type of life that you are happy, that I hold firm onto the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that, O my friend, O my servants, watazawwadu fa inna khayra zadi taqwa. That prepare your luggage and get your bags ready, you on your journey. See if your passport is in order, see if your luggage is in order, etc. And what is our passport of akhirat? Our passport of akhirat is our iman. Today we are worried that my passport is expiring, driver's license is expiring, all those papers we make sure we go on time to renew it. But renewing our iman, Allah has made it such that five times a day that we come to the masjid is actually to renew our iman. But we come first, salah, aqimis salata li zikri. Allah says establish namaz to remember Allah. But a person like myself, I came to masjid, I perform namaz, but like my Shaykh says so beautifully, that my namaz is like a person, your wife tell you that now take me to town, I got some work, I have to go buy some things, some groceries, etc. So you say, no, I got some other work, I have to go to the bank, I have to go here, I have to go there. She say, okay, never mind, you take me, I'll do my shopping, then you pick me up. So you take her, you drop her at one shop, and you go and do all your other shopping and all your other work and errands, and then you come back, you say, I'll pick you up. So exactly the same. Hazrat says, we come to the masjid, we leave our body here, and then our soul is roaming all over the show. One minute we had the cricket match, the next minute we had the bank, the next minute we all over, and when the imam makes salam, we realize, oh, namaz is over, and now we're going out of the masjid. So we're supposed to be establishing salah to remember Allah, to renew our iman. But our salah is unmindful, how we going to remember Allah Rabbul Izzat? So for this, a person has to realize and has to be conscious daily that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reminded us, jaddidu imanakum. Renew your iman. That is why you have to take out time daily to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we got no time to make zikr. 5-10 minutes to make our zikr, but we got no time to make our zikr. If a person doesn't make his zikr, it's like a person who bought a brand new car and is boasting he's got a new car. But tell him take you for a drive, he says there's no petrol. Why? It takes too much time to go and fill petrol. I got no time to go and wait by the garage. So if you don't want to go and fill petrol, where your car is going to take you? Nowhere. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the petrol of the ruh. We don't want to give our soul petrol and then we expect that we get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's extremely important, respected elders and friends. Allah has made the system of our life, our Islamic way of life. If we follow our life according to the Islamic system, we'll see our iman will be just growing all the time. And we'll be getting prepared and we'll be getting ready to go meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just very briefly I'll mention and then we'll end off inshallah. For example, our Islamic calendar starts with Muharram. And Muharram has got two aspects. One is Allah ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. That we have given insan, this human being, great honor, respect. We made you the best of all creation. Now how to remain on that high pedestal to be the best of all creation? Otherwise Allah ta'ala immediately after this says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Don't think that you are the best of creation just because you got a beautiful body. Outwardly you may be the form of a human being. But if you don't live up to the standard that we have made you, then you'll become the worst of worst. You'll be worse than animals also. So how to live up to that high standard? The month of Muharram indicates that we should stay away from all those things that are haram. If you stay away from all those things that are haram and obey the commands of Allah, then you love with honor, you love with dignity, you love with great respect. Allah will give you honor and respect and Allahu Akbar forget. Allah Ta'ala giving us honor, respect and dignity. Our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, apno to kya ghairo tumhari ihtiram karenge. That forget your own people. Non-Muslims will honor and respect you. So a Muslim should never ever have an inferiority complex that in today's zamana you can't keep a beard, you can't travel according to the wear sunnat clothing, etc. No, wherever you are, in any time, uphold the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practice on our deen, Allah will give you honor that non-Muslims will honor us. And one of the beautiful du'as of our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that jis fiza mein bhi rahu, jahan mein bhi rahu, hamesha mera taqwa salamat rahe, sunnat ki paaband rahe. That wallah, wherever I may be, in whichever environment, I can become the biggest businessman in the world, traveling in first class, alone with no wife, no nobody, but my taqwa should be all the time in salamat. That I should realize Allah is with me all the time. And don't worry what the world say. Allah must be happy with me. And Allah will only be happy with me if I follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So extremely important that we realize this all the time. So a person who upholds the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then forget the Allahu Akbar, getting honor from Muslims, non-Muslims will honor and respect you. And then see how Allah Ta'ala will give you honor and respect throughout wherever you go. So it is extremely important that a person realizes that if you want honor and respect, stay away from those things that are haram. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, as you realize this, the month of Safar comes, check your iman again. Don't let all wrong beliefs, that all superstitious beliefs, etc., come into your heart and you don't realize. Especially in today's modern world, all the different type of isms, all wrong beliefs, it's extremely important that we learn from the ulama and we correct our beliefs. We shouldn't have superstitious beliefs, so correct your beliefs. Then you see the month of Rabiul Awwal comes, where the greatest light came to the world, the light of Nabuwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the world was lost, they didn't know which direction they were going. Allah Ta'ala sent the nur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam salvaged the world, which was so to say impossible. That nation that was totally lost in a short period of 23 years, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised them to such a position where till Qiyamah nobody will able to meet such people. Then Allahu Akbar, as a person progresses, now you enjoy the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will give you eagerness to have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the famous poem of our Dada Shaykh, Naqshe Qadam Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki hai, Jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalalu se milate sunnat ke raaste. If you follow on the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll be on your road to Jannat. And in fact, you'll get a greater ni'mat than Jannat, Allah Jalla Jalalu se milati sunnat ke raaste. It will connect you to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And that is why Allah has sent us here, to get connection with Allah. Today we are building connections with everybody else besides Allah Ta'ala. Let us build our connection with Allah, and Allah will see to all our affairs. Allah will see to all our needs. So if a person, one easy way to build your connection with Allah Ta'ala, follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sausam. When you got the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sausam in your life, you are eager to meet Allah. Allah gave us the best way to get closeness to Allah. Allah took Nabi Kareem Sausam on Miraj. And Allah took him to the Arsh. And in return, what a great gift Allah gave. Allah gave Salah. And Allah Ta'ala says, present this to my servants, that if a person wants to be closest to me, he just has to go in sajda and put his head down, put all his brains, everything, and admit wholeheartedly that, oh Allah, I am absolutely useless. I am the most filthiest, and you are the greatest. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Oh Allah, you are so pure, you are so high and so noble. And that person is, so to say, at the feet of Allah. But that is when we learn our salah, when we do a course in salah. Today we're doing every other course, computer courses, this course. We're paying our children, do all courses. But the course that we have to learn, the course of salah, we are negligent. We are unmindful. If myself ponder and think, do I ever worry, is my postures of salah still properly? forget my connection with Allah Ta'ala. My outward salah is not in order, so how can I draw from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we see our pious servants, the akabirin, the mashayikh, they do a special course, particularly in the month of Ramadan Sharif, where people in that beautiful month, the environment is so conducive to getting connection with Allah Ta'ala, but a special course is taught how to correct our salah. When a person's salah comes in order, your whole deen will come in order. When your deen comes in order, then your dunya will come in order. Today we want to put the cart before the horse. Yet you ask a person, where were you from for salah? Say, Moana, I just had a problem in my business. When that is sorted out, you'll see me for 5 times salah. If you don't come for salah, your business will never get sorted out. You first come for your salah, Allah will sort out your business. So we have to put the cart, the horse before the cart. That is, learn to correct our salah. And then make, do a cause in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start doing a cause, that is, get connected to the friends of Allah. And learn to make zikr of Allah. And make our zikr regularly. Then see, when a person starts his salah, at least he'll be conscious, I'm standing in front of Allah. And I've surrendered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person realizes this, and you complete your salah and you make your salam, then you realize, Ya Allah, you gave me opportunity to stand in front of you, but I wasted this opportunity. And I didn't perform my salah properly. Otherwise, a person just performs 2 rakats namaz, what little he thinks he's concentrating, and he thinks he's the big wali of the time, he's the Bayezid Bustami of the time. No, a person whose salah comes in order, he'll realize that my salah is, every namaz he performs, he'll realize that I'm still far from perfection. And now a person, istighfar and tawbah will come part of your life. And this is the sign of the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ That they used to spend very little time at night sleeping. They used to get up middle of the night, making tahajjud, making dua, crying to Allah. And when the time of sehri comes to an end, then they never used to think that we were very pious. These people were sleeping. My wife was sleeping. I spent my time in tahajjud, but no, making istighfar. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Oh Allah, please accept me. So Allah Ta'ala brings the opportunity of the month of Sha'ban, that now take a spiritual bath, make istighfar, make tawbah, so that you get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a person getting married, he takes his bath, he puts his perfume, he gets ready to go for his nikah. So Allah Ta'ala prepares us before the month of Ramadan Sharif come. And when the month of Ramadan Sharif come, Allahu Akbar. That is now the time when Allah Ta'ala is saying, prepare, fill up your luggage now. Get your trousseau ready. You're going to get a special connection with Allah. You're going to make nikah with Allah Rabbul Izzat. In other words, you're going to get a special link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is that? If you learn to keep your rozas, your fast properly, that is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You learn how to control your eyes, how to control your ears, how to control all your heart, your thoughts, your mind, all that. If you learn how to, if you spend your Ramadan Sharif properly, then the day Eid comes, that will be the day your Malakul Maut comes and take your ruh. When Malakul Maut comes and take your ruh, and you fill taqwa in your heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be like your Eid. You'll be waiting for Him. And when Ramadan Sharif comes to an end, then don't think the beautiful season has come to an end. Now everything is over. Now I'm like a bird out of the cage. I can just carry on my normal life. Whether I'm there for salah, not there, it doesn't matter. No, now the real season has started. That Allah says, you have packed your bags. What does Zawwadu do? You got your bags ready. You filled your taqwa in your heart. You got that eagerness. You want to meet Allah. Now Allah announces, Al-Hajj wa shuru ma'lumat. Now the season of Hajj has started. Come, open invitation. Everybody should come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to say, when the moon of Eid is sighted, then immediately the hearts of the pious servants, they used to make dua and say, Ya Allah, suna hai ke tere dar pe tere aashiko ka hujum hone wale. Agar ijazat ho, to main bhi usme shamil ho. That, oh Allah, now we have heard that your friends are going to be flogging at your house, and everybody is going to be coming to your door, and how vibrant Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif is going to be. Oh Allah, I also want to be amongst them.
So even if you're not there for physically with your body, your heart should be connected more and more to Kaaba Sharif. And now your heart should be connected to Medina Sharif even more, that you learn to become the humble slave of Allah. And when you come to the house of Allah, and we think of Hajj, make dua for the Hajjis, Allah makes easy, Allah accepts the Hajj of everybody. And Allah Akbar, let Hidayat spread throughout the world for this great ibadat of Hajj. And then when a person comes to the house of Allah, he can't resist, he wants to meet Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, you want to meet me? For that you have to give your life. And then Allah opens the doors of Qurbani. Allahu Akbar. And our Shaykh Mohan Abdul Hamid Sahib says so beautifully that Allah Ta'ala Qurbani mangte hai, lete nahi. Allah just asks to see that whether you prepared to give your life to Allah. Allah doesn't take your life. Allah will give you 100 lives in return. Allah, what Allah Ta'ala wants to see, can you give fulfill, can you sacrifice one of your haram desires for the pleasure of Allah? A person who controls his eyes and doesn't look at haram for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Ta'ala immediately fills in his heart the halawat of iman, sweetness of iman. Then that person starts enjoying life which he can't explain anybody else. So for that Allah Ta'ala brings qurbani. And that is why Allah Akbar, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, our Dada Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say that why did Allah Ta'ala make it that people go in jihad and they become martyrs, they become shaheed? Allah doesn't need the blood of anybody. Allah doesn't need the life of anybody. But Allah Ta'ala wants to show the world there are those people who are prepared to write my love with their blood. That is the martyrs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we don't have to give our life, that we have to give our blood. All Allah Ta'ala wants, that we put a knife across our haram desires. And learn to control our haram desires. And in return, Allah will give us 100 lives. While you are alive, Hazrat says you can be a zinda shaheed. You are alive and you are a shaheed. And you can, Allah Akbar. So what a deen we have got. Imagine if a person loves his life like this, every year his iman will be increasing, and he'll be increasing, and he'll be waiting, when can Malakul Maut come and I can leave this world and commit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such people, it is mentioned, Malakul Maut came to one person, and he asked him, that Allah ta'ala has told me that I must tell, according to what your command is, that is how I must take your life. If you want time to love, then I must still give you time to love. He says, I'm waiting for you for 30 years. Where I still want time to love? Allahu Akbar. Because such pious people who prepare themselves and they realize that we are on our journey to meet Allah. And that is why Allah brings towards the end of the year, Allah has brought the great ibadat of Hajj. There are two dimensions to it. One is to show that you're on your journey to Akhirat. And the other dimension is that what you need on this journey to Akhirat, you need the love of Allah. When you got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you put your brains one side. And you don't let your brains control you. The love of Allah ta'ala will control you. And you'll follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala islam. And then enjoyment of life is something else. So and then per that person, when he is time to leave the world, Allah ta'ala tells Malakul Maut, go and tell that person that Allah has sent salams for him. Allahu Akbar. When Malakul Maut comes to you, he sits at your headside and he whispers in your ears that Allah Ta'ala has sent salams. You go in a state of ecstasy. Allah has sent salams for me. And then to test you, he asks you, now do you want to stay a little while with your family? You still got time, you can go see. See, and salams has come from Allah Ta'ala. I must still stay in this world which is full of shackles. No, I want to leave immediately. Allahu Akbar. And forget salams from Allah Rabbul Izzat. The pious servants who are connected to Allah. And you can only get connection with Allah through Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So those people who are connected to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and connected to Allah, when they hear, forget any pious person says, somebody tells you that this pious man has sent salam for you, how happy you get. That he thought of me and he sent salam for me. For example, I'll just try and end off on this. One person, Hazrat Alim, he saw in a dream that Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, go and give my salams to Ashraf Ali, Hazrat Mawana Hakim ul-Ummat, Mawana Ashraf Ali Tanvi, Rahmatullah Ali. This Alim was staying in a very far village. He didn't hear of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali in that zamana. But now he got this amanat that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, go and give my salams to Ashraf Ali. So he found out, he made tahqeeq, he researched who is Maulana Ashraf Ali. Then somebody informed him and he came to know that Hazrat stays in a far village and he stays in Tanabowan. He made all the arrangements in those days, not even having much money, but he made all the arrangements, etc. And he managed to get a train ticket and he managed to come to Tanabowan. When he came to Tanabowan, he met Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Then he explained, Hazrat, I only came for this purpose that I brought an amanat for you. He said, what amanat you brought? He says, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me in a dream and said, I must pass salams to you. Allahu Akbar. Immediately Hazrat said, Ye baro ki shafkat chote par. This is the kindness of the elders upon small people like us. A person like me, my head will get blown up. Let's see, salams came to me from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, those who are pious and who got reality, they realize this is the kindness of the elders. When the elders tell you something good, then don't think you are good. Realize they are just giving you encouragement. They're trying to increase your goodness and encourage you. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, one taught us this adab, that we should realize this is the kindness of the elders. The second important adab he taught us, that whole day it is written, that whole day is ma'amulat Allah Hazrat made in just sending durood upon Nabi Kareem. Whole day he just spent in reciting durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So happy he was that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent salams for him. So imagine when Allah Ta'ala sends salams for us. And the time when you will need it most, at the time when Malakul Maut comes to you, that very crucial moment, and when you get salams from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize that Allah has given us this great amanat, this trust of life, to prepare for our real life, and that is our akhirat, to meet Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that person who prepares to meet Allah, and he wants to meet Allah, Allah is happy to meet that person. And that is why Allah Ta'ala said, who will practice on the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Those people who got umid and hope to meet Allah, then they will know to meet Allah, we have to have the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in us. Then Allah Ta'ala will be happy that this banda looks like my beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah will be happy with us. And if Allah is happy with us, Allahu Akbar. That is the greatest moment of our life. Allah give us all tawfiq and understanding that we prepare for that condition. And Allah gives us such a mood that our soul comes out dancing towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is happy with us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is happy with us. And Allah raise us out of His sheer mercy and kindness amongst the pious and the righteous servants, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa laqibat muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك احب الاشياء الينا واجعل خشيتك اخوف الاشياء عندنا واقطع عنا حاجات الدنيا بالشوق الى لقائك واذا اقررت اعين علي الدنيا من دنياهم فأقرر أعيننا من عبادتك اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد حبيبك اللهم نسألك رضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك ونعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة وفتنة مذلة اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم أصل وارحم وتجاوز واغفر واهدي لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي الناس والجان والجميع واجعلنا سببا لذلك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم احفظنا من كل الفتن ما ظهر من وبطن اللهم قنا من فتنة الدنيا ومن شر فتنة النساء اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم اشف مرضانا واغفر موتانا ربنا اجعلنا مقيمين مقيمين الصلاة من ذريتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا لا سيما لشيخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء من والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله تعالى اسمه وأهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.